Lila and Ina, you're traveling together from some distant place, though, because you don't live here in...
This is true.
In this area. Where are you coming from?
We both live in the South. I live in South Carolina, and Ida lives in Tennessee.
Whoa. And when did you leave there on this trip?
Last Saturday.
So it was still a little bit warm there?
100 degrees.
Okay. Now, I've talked to a few people. I have some friends who live in Washington, D.C., and been there for many, many years. And I'm guessing you've lived in South Carolina, Tennessee for a while?
Yes.
Okay. I detect a certain accent there.
You do?
Yeah.
Imagine that.
They said, although they've been in D.C. for many years, this was unusually hot. Are you finding it the same way where you are?
It's a very hot year.
Record setting.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And is that the reason why you chose to come here, where it's cool?
No, we're here to see our two brothers and our classmates and friends.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm going to take just a moment here to say that we're coming up to the top of the hour. The whistle that you heard in the background, something that started many years ago, and that we've had a guest come in, Suzanne McCausland has come in and talked about that whistle, has just gone off. The signals, it's roughly 8 a.m. in the morning. You know, one of the things that is true about that it's not exactly on time, but we can generally hear it at 8 at noon and about 5 o'clock at night. Does that bring back any memories?
It certainly does. Yes. I had forgotten all about that.
Me too.
But we could hear it from our house.
Okay.
Growing up.
Now, we know you're presently living elsewhere. Yes. How often do you get back to Alaska?
It's been 10 years for me.
Oh, 10?
Just 3 for me, because I came back for my 50th class reunion.
Ah, so you're not exactly the same age then?
Not exactly.
No, yeah. You're a little bit different.
She's the old one.
You're the younger one. Okay.
I'm 3 whole years younger.
Alrighty. So, tell us about being here, a little bit about when it was and where it was and what did you do? So,
well, it started with our dad coming up in 1931. He was here when the colony came in.
Oh, he was.
Yes,
oh.
And I was born here, but Ida was born. Our mother went to Washington to deliver her.
Oh.
And then came back.
Okay.
She already had a child, and so she traveled to Aberdeen, Washington to have me.
Uh-huh.
So her mother could take, our grandmother could take care of Kenneth.
Ah, okay. So Ida, you were born here in Alaska, and you were almost born here in Alaska.
Almost. I came back when I was 6 weeks old on a troop ship.
Oh, whoa. Okay. And what was it? I won't ask you what that was like.
I don't remember.
All right. Okay. So tell me the year for each one of you.
When we left, I left in 64.
Okay. And how about you left in 64, and when did you arrive on the scene? When were you born, the year?
I was born in May of 1944.
Okay. So this is kind of an interesting situation, because what that means is that the colonists, your family had arrived before the colonists, mm-hmm. then the colonists arrived, and then you arrived technically yes. after the colonists.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to do a top of the hour here and remind people once again that this is KVRF Sutton, 89.5 on your FM dial. It's Big Cabbage Radio. Okay, so it's 1944. You've arrived on the scene. The war is still going on.
Yes.
The rest of that. Lila, how about you?
Well, I arrived in 1941.
Okay.
A little bit before the war started.
Already.
In July, as a matter of fact.
Okay. All right. And you both then spent many years growing up here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Now we got the time stamp placed properly. Where did you live?
Well, right now, the house is just on the west side of the fairgrounds.
Oh, okay.
But that used to be 2 miles out of town.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it was just a farm, a dairy farm.
Right.
Periodically, in order to make enough money, our dad had to take other jobs.
Well, sure.
He wanted to be a farmer, but he did other things too.
And that's an interesting way to say it, that this, you have to sort of have two views of the place. Mm-hmm. You have to think about way back when you were there and living and what it was like, and you were outside of town, et cetera. And we describe that location today. It's it's, you know, it seems like it's part of the city of Palmer. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Everything has changed tremendously.
Okay. Did you live in that place for all the time you were here, or?
No, we lived at the agricultural experimental farm.
Ah.
Yes. So you went. Worked for them off and on over the years.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
At the last, he was an artificial inseminator of cattle, dairy cattle, in the whole region.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
He
liked working with livestock.
Okay, and how about you, Lila?
And he was only 5'8", and you consider him working with those huge, huge bulls.
Yeah.
It was an awesome job.
Wow, okay. So you went to school.
Yes.
Tell us about where you went to school.
We started at the only school there was, which was
Palmer Central.
Palmer Central.
Yeah.
Okay, where was that located?
Right in the middle of town.
Yep.
It's right in the middle of town.
It was a school with 3 floors and a basement.
Yeah. Had all 12 grades.
All right. So are there some people still around that went to school with you at that time?
Oh, there are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any names you want to throw out?
Well, we have Suzanne McCausland.
Oh,
used to be black.
Okay.
And
Muriel Hanks Wadham.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is still here. She became a teacher and taught in the Palmer School District during her early years. Of course, we're both retired right now, so.
And the Bill Pipple.
Bill Pipple.
I understand he's here every summer.
Yes, in fact, he. If you work at it, you can find him. He appears from time to time. He's living in that family home located over towards the airport, and usually arrives at Vagabond Blues for a while, but he's accessible. You can find him, and some people say he hasn't changed much.
We've already had the opportunity of speaking to him.
So. Oh, yeah. Well, great. So. Oh, great.
Nancy Bush.
Okay.
She has a different last name now. And Beth Estelle. I knew her as Beth Estelle. She was a year younger.
And how about Larry DeVilbiss?
He was between.
Yes.
Oh, so he was between.
He was between us. You know, a year younger or older means a lot when you're very young.
Okay, I understand that. I understand that.
And today we're getting together with the Barry twins.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry.
Dearborn twins.
Dearborn twins. Larry and Barry.
Okay, right.
They were our neighbors growing up.
Well, sure.
We lived at the experimental farm.
And, of course, Jay is continuing on with this huge involvement with potatoes.
Excellent.
Jay, yeah, he's done a good job. So I suppose one of the questions that people often are interested in, and I think our listeners would be, is to compare what life was like then with what you see now. Anything in particular that leaps right out at you that says, this is different?
Well, they don't have a hill that used to be there on the way into town.
Oh, really?
Really.
So the hill went away.
They took it down and put in a road.
Okay, so which hill are you talking about? Coming in from the west, coming in on the Palmer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right, I've heard Suzanne talk about that.
Mm-hmm. It was a pretty good sized hill.
And it just went away.
It just went away.
People lived on that hill.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hopefully they moved before they took the hill away.
We hope so.
Okay, we've got that physical part of things. Now, I've seen pictures of early Palmer, and in some ways, I think, well, I've been here a while. It's been 32 years that I've lived here, so it's like, yeah, I've seen a few changes, but you go back further than that.
Yeah.
I did.
And as I remember, the road, Alaska Street, center of town, the railroad tracks were there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The road was there, but the road was
gravel
road.
Nothing was paved.
Nothing was paved. Okay.
Well, it's easier to maintain, for one thing, with the freezing and thawing.
Oh, okay.
And it's just, you know, there were not a lot of people, and yeah. It takes a lot of tax money to pave roads.
Sure, I understand that. Now, last year we had a particularly interesting winter. There was a lot of snow that came down, and people talk about snow removal. And back in the day, how was snow removed? Was it removed? Or?
Yes,
snow
it was. Blowers.
Blowers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, out in the countryside anyway, it was blown to the side.
Uh-huh. Okay, so not really using plows so much as blowing
it. Blowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, all right.
And there were some plows as well, but most of what we saw, we remember, you know, we liked that plume of snow.
Ah, right, yeah. Especially when it's a big blower doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, we like that.
So how did thinking about that time, how did you get from where you lived, which was a couple of miles mm-hmm. into town, when for that matter, I mean, there was a school bus?
School
yes. bus, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Bus one, I think. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Bus number one.
And was it yellow?
Yes.
Yellow school bus, okay.
And I remember one time we slid into the ditch, and of course all the children got out and helped push it out of the ditch.
Oh, sure. Well, probably not. That wouldn't be the way it would be done today.
No, it wouldn't be done I suspect, that way today.
I suspect that would be different. That would be it.
And that. I'm amazed. In Tennessee, if they get a quarter of an inch of snow or something, they say, okay, school's out for the snow.
Yeah.
It's
and businesses close down.
All right.
In South Carolina, the tradition is when you hear the word snow, you run to the grocery store mm-hmm. for bread and milk.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And apparently they expected somehow that they would be snowed in to the point where they couldn't find anything to eat.
Okay. But it doesn't snow very often where you
live. It doesn't snow very often, and it doesn't stay.
It okay. depends on the winter where I am in Tennessee yeah. because I live in the foothills yeah. between the Appalachians and the Smoky Mountains.
Right.
And so I get more snow than she does.
Yes.
So you both left Alaska in 64?
No, yeah. I left in 1959, just 59. Before it became a state.
Okay.
A month before.
That's Lila. And Ida, you left in 64.
I'm Ida.
Oh, Ida, rather.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, I left
got
in
that straight.
64, yes.
Okay. And this is, why'd you go?
I married a military man.
Ah, you know, okay.
Everybody's entitled to one big mistake.
Well, and interestingly enough, the military is one of the reasons why a lot of people come to Alaska.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But in this case, you married someone and off you went.
Yeah.
We both did.
Oh, you both did. Okay. So, you have lived in the South pretty much after
yes. yeah,
all that time?
Yes.
And as you think about the difference, and what's interesting very often to a listener is having, and I've traveled and I've lived in other places as well from time to time, I notice similarities and differences. What do you think is the biggest difference other than the fear of snow in South Carolina? Or what's the, in terms of life there?
Well, when I first went to the South, the difference was much bigger than it is now, but there are more people moving into the area from other areas, so it's I'll say better now.
Okay.
But the lack of education and the isolation of little individual mill towns where I was, the people only knew a limited number of people. They all worked in the mill. They worked for the mill for generations, mm-hmm. and it was that mentality that outside of that area was bad and dangerous, and so they were very suspicious of anyone. And when I went, they found out I was from Alaska. They assumed I was an Eskimo.
Oh.
That's the limit of, and it lived in an igloo, and that was the limit of what they knew about Alaska. It was up there somewhere.
Right.
They thought it was across the ocean, and it was just very strange. no one read and no one knew anything or was interested in anything, and it was real. I read a lot.
Sure. A lot. And that's interesting because, of course, when people think about Alaska, they think about it as a remote place where what you're describing would be thought to be Alaska. And and what I've discovered, and the same kind of thing, is that living in Alaska, although there may be some people who are focused on just what's happening locally, I think there's an appreciation that we are out there on the edge, not only the edge of a frontier with all the wilderness that goes along, but we've been also very close to other countries. I mean, we have this border with Russia. Yeah. We're relatively close to Japan and other other countries. And so we're not, you know, that's been my experience. People have been interested in other things.
And so, and we have a population that all came from somewhere else.
Yeah. With the exception, of course, of a large number of people who are native peoples to Alaska.
Absolutely.
Now, and which raises an interesting question, because over the years, and I've lived in places that in the west of Alaska, Nome, for example, et cetera, with a very, very large native population. And, of course, there's been a long history that's involved in the Native Settlement Act and the rest of that. In your time when you were living here in Palmer, we can talk about people who were colonists. We talk about there were people who were here before, who had come into the area before then. But, of course, there were also some native peoples who were here.
Yes.
Do you have memories of that time?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We went to school with them.
Uh-huh.
There were a lot of children from the children's homes that were just like us.
Right. Okay.
I always thought they seemed nicer than we are, but it was just my opinion.
Okay. Especially when we went to high school, they didn't have high school education in their villages.
Right.
That was not provided, so they had to go somewhere to get an education if they wanted to go on to school.
Right.
So they would live in children's homes in the area.
Okay.
And get their high school education.
All right.
And one in my class, in particular, became a chemistry physics professor at MIT.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, and the population, and when we were talking about the years in the 40s and 50s, in particular, the population of this area was relatively small.
Yes.
I know that. Before the war began, the population of Anchorage was relatively small. I mean, a small place. Do you have memories of Anchorage, the big city in those times?
Oh, that was 50 miles by gravel road. We went about once a year.
Once a year?
Yes.
Oh, not.
Well, when I started first grade, they found out I couldn't see. So the only optometrist there was in Anchorage, and I had to have my glasses changed every year.
Okay.
So that was one trip.
Right.
And then we may have to go one other time during the year, but that trip had to be because I had to get new glasses.
Well, that's a fascinating thing because, of course, today we have roughly a third of the population that does a daily trip, just thinks not too much of it. My wife is included in that. She works at the university and drives in 4 days a week to Anchorage back and forth. And I'll be going this evening to an event that's in town. It's kind of a 50-minute drive. But of course, the highway is considerably improved. How about other places, though? As you're thinking about that time, if you're going once a year to Anchorage, did you go up to Fairbanks or any other places?
We did.
Only through the school or with 4-H.
Okay.
Yes, and then later after she left, I think we went one time with family.
Okay.
But it just wasn't something. And also I did go up with the band at one point,
as I recall.
But we didn't travel a lot. We had dairy cows.
Oh, I've not.
You can't leave them for the weekend.
No, you can't just go away. There's a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of work involved in that whole process. And there were, and I'm familiar with some of the history of the dairy industry in this area and farming and so on. There were a number of dairy farms, yes, in the area. And, of course, there was the co-op,
yes,
the Matt Maid.
We remember the co-op very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that building and that whole area was, in some ways, the center of
life. It was.
Life.
Mm-hmm. It was that day's Walmart. You met everyone, right, you knew eventually in the co-op.
Okay. Now, I also understand, and I've looked at some of the pictures, talked to people, that the railroad came into town. People have those images of the colonists arriving on the railroad. Did you ever travel by rail? Was there any real passenger service during the time you were here? Or?
There was, but we didn't use it except to go to Fairbanks.
Yeah. Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That would be a way to go, make that happen.
Because by the time we were born and they had some roads.
Right.
When my dad came, the only thing that was here was the railroad.
Oh,
there were no roads.
There were no roads. Okay. So the roads replaced the railroad for transportation fairly early in the game.
Very often, yeah.
And when the colonists got in here.
Yeah, okay. And, of course, the railroad did run up to Sutton for coal.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have any memories of the coal trains or anything like that?
Since they went right by our house.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
We would hear the train blowing its whistle long way down the tracks, and we would run the quarter of the mile so we could wave at the engineer.
Okay.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. Okay, that was the excitement in the day. Yeah.
That's right.
All right. Well, I can understand how that would be. Now, one of the things that is kind of a feature of life here is that not only is it possible to go to the big city, but also the entire area has been built out with all kinds of subdivisions and so on, and there's the Palmer-Wasilla Highway. Mm-hmm. And we talk very often about Palmer and Wasilla. Did you get over to Wasilla, or what was your sense of Wasilla?
If you blinked your eyes, you missed it.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was very tiny.
Very tiny.
Very tiny.
Smaller than Palmer, you think?
Oh, much.
Way smaller.
It was just a little crossroads. It was very small.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting thing, because as you're aware, when you go over there today, it's kind of a bustling place, a lot of traffic and
I noticed
businesses
that.
And so on. Yeah. But and the other thing that has been a subject of much discussion is Palmer as a place having a certain quality or charm or whatever you want to say, and I've heard people say this as they come either to visit as a first time or why they stay, is that Palmer has a sense of being a town, just having the green area in the center of town. And if someone says they're going to Palmer, they're pretty much going to downtown Palmer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there is a downtown that's defined and isn't so busy that it's difficult to go. And I hear that said. And you've traveled a bit now, so as you come back and you look at it, is there any way you would sum up this quality of Palmer being a town?
Well, it still has the feel to me that it had back then.
Right.
Okay.
It's a very charming place.
Yeah. Well,
the Southerners would describe it is a laid-back town.
A laid-back town. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not the rush and hustle and bustle and of a city or whatever.
Traffic jams.
It's a very comfortable town.
Okay. I've heard some of those words: charming, comfortable,
friendly
too. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you you've traveled, you probably, and listeners have that same sense. I've recently been in some big cities, Houston and Palo Alto, and so on. And people can be friendly in general, but when you've got literally tens of hundreds of thousands of people walking by, it's hard to say hi to everybody.
Exactly.
Whatever. And that's numbers matter.
Yeah, absolutely. When there are too many, it's just too much.
Yeah, and that's probably part of the thing.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about a time when there were far fewer people here.
Yes.
And in some respects that was what it was. Mm-hmm. Is it better? Is there a sweet spot of numbers that you have just, you know, enough people so that you've got variety, but not too many so that you're bumping into everybody all the time?
When we grew up, there was most everybody knew everybody else, just about.
Sure. You know.
Yeah, at least on site.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's
from the children in your class, you know, you knew their parents.
Right.
And attended a lot of the functions together, like Grange or whatever. So you knew their parents and they knew yours.
There were three churches right there in the same square.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knew everyone. It was so very different than it is now.
Is that pretty? I live next to the Log Church there, and there's St. John's Lutheran Church, and of course the Catholic Church of the Way. Those are the three churches you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
They've been there a long time.
We went to the mm-hmm. Church of a Thousand Trees, which was the Presbyterian Church.
Sure. Yeah. How about that?
And it looks so much smaller than it did when we were kids.
Well, I can believe that. Well, they just celebrated their 75th anniversary.
Yeah.
So been around a long time.
Longer than we have.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So in terms of daily life, one of the things that's happened is that we have not only built roads, but we've invented all kinds of labor-saving devices so that you can get up. You have everything from microwaves and packaged stuff and all the rest of it, and stores with any kind of thing you'd want to buy. So do you have any, as you think about it, and think back to those days when you were here in the 40s, 50s, was life easier, or how different was it in terms of what you did in the day?
It was physically harder.
Physically, okay.
Yeah.
But you didn't think about it because that was
your life.
That was your life.
Right.
So you just did whatever you had to do.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times if we had Girl Scout meetings or whatever, we had to walk.
Yeah.
To the meeting. We had one car.
Okay.
And Daddy usually had that going to work. And we walked to 4-H meetings. We walked to Girl Scout meetings. And
so when you're saying walking, you're walking how far?
Well, we were only 2 miles out of town. So.
Yes.
I just remind people that there's a 2-mile number there.
Right. And we usually tried to walk on the railroad tracks if we could.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. And, yeah, very often that's a
straight shot.
Straight shot, none of this curving kind of business, et cetera. Well, thinking of work, and I'm suspecting that there was a lot of heating done by wood.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Did you have any hand in the wood thing?
Our dad didn't allow us to split the wood. He brought the trees from the wood from the woods and cut them up and would split them. But we did have to carry it. We had to carry a lot of wood, and we carried a lot of water.
Oh,
yeah,
our job was the water,
our little brother had to carry the wood most of the time.
Yeah.
Oh, and so where did you carry the water from? You
carried it from the well behind the house.
Okay.
We did have an electric pump. I remember that being installed. We had an electric pump.
Okay.
Which was a big deal.
Yeah.
And we carried the water in, and then when you used it, you had to carry it back out.
We had no plumbing.
Oh.
We didn't have to have a gym membership.
We had no plumbing. We lived originally in one room, a one-room cabin.
Okay.
That our father built.
Mm-hmm. And then as they had more children, they had to build another room on.
Okay.
Now, this was prior to him working at the experimental farm. So.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a different picture of life.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How about the other thing that's very often of interest to a listener is what you were eating. So I'm going to guess that you drank some milk.
We drank a lot of milk.
We made our own butter.
Butter, yeah. Okay. And in the summer, I'm sure there were a lot of vegetables.
Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely. We had to do our weeding.
Okay. Oh, weeding.
Regularly.
No, about weeding. Yes, yeah. Weeding happens. Yeah. And potatoes?
We had potatoes and carrots and all the usual. I remember digging them out of the snow sometimes.
Sure. And did you have a cold storage kind of place where you put these?
Under the house.
Under the house.
One end of the cabin was a root cellar, they call a root cellar.
Root cellar, right. Yeah. So you go through the year, and you're coming up to about March, April. I'm thinking about very often it's difficult to get fresh vegetables and so on at that time. So what did you tend to eat, say, in April and on to May before you get a new crop of stuff?
Things that aren't that Mama canned or froze.
We had a huge freezer.
Oh, okay.
That was later. At the beginning, there was a Piggly Wiggly in downtown.
Sure.
That had lockers in the back that you rented.
Okay.
That were freezer lockers.
All right.
That's where we put our frozen things.
Okay.
Until we got our own freezer.
Oh, all right.
And our father would hunt, as well as raising our own meat. We had chickens and geese and pigs and sometimes beef.
It sounds like a real farm.
It was a real farm.
He was a real farm.
But he did hunt as well. That was his vacation for the year with his friends.
Who took care of the chickens?
That would be me.
I can remember when I was little, one of the things we sold to the co-op was eggs.
Right.
And we always had white leghorn chicken. So they would be white eggs because a lot of people didn't like brown
that
eggs.
That was valued back then.
Oh, yeah. You know, the switch comes along so that it tends to be, it's brown eggs.
Or
green.
Or green,
Every year we would get brand new baby chickens,
And they stayed in the house under a light at first.
Of course.
While they were little.
Yeah. We have a few chickens at our house. So we go through that process. I'm very familiar with it. How many chickens did you have?
We had about 50.
Or more. I think at the beginning we had about 100.
And then when I was taking care of them.
Then there was other people that were selling eggs also, so we let the...
You know, there's been an article in the Anchorage paper, I don't know if you saw that, there's been a change that allows chickens in many parts of the municipality. And
they're doing that in the South, too.
Yeah, and that's kind of a strange thing.
It's different.
But in Anchorage, the problem is predation by bears and other critters. Did you have any problems with that?
No, in the South it would be the people, I think.
Oh, okay. How about when you were here and you had chickens in the valley? Did you have dogs by...
We had a dog.
Always had a dog.
We were only allowed one dog and one cat.
We did have foxes nearby.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. And, of course, hawks.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have to have some cover for that. Now, your chickens free range, or were they?
They were free range, and then they were put up at night.
Oh, okay. And, chickens tend to like to do that in any case.
They do, and it keeps the owls from... eating more than their share.
More than their share, whatever that is, right? Okay. Well, this has been fascinating, an interesting look back into a time when Palmer was much smaller and in some ways simpler and the life that two ladies lived in part there. Do you have any last comments about the kinds of things that would be interesting to share with the listeners?
Oh, I don't know. All I know is I am dreading having to leave.
Really?
I've had such a good time.
All right. Well, there's that.
But I'm going back to high temperatures and drought for the most part now.
The combination.
Regional drought.
And that's in South Carolina.
Yes, in South Carolina.
Are you near the coast or inland?
No, it's inland.
Okay.
Northwest corner.
Okay.
Big growth area.
Yeah, in Tennessee.
I live in the northeast corner of Tennessee, right on the Virginia border.
Way up there.
The town of Bristol is the birthplace of country music in 1927.
Wow.
And the half of Bristol is in Tennessee and half of it's in Virginia. So there is a state line right down the main street.
Wow. And are there some cases where it goes right down the middle of a house?
Not anymore. But the nursing home that my mother was in while I had her with me in her last years, half of the nursing home was in Tennessee and half of it was in Virginia.
Oh, my. Interesting. At least we don't have that problem here in the valley.
No, we don't.
Well, Ida and Lila, thank you very much for coming in and sharing these intimate details and observations about life back in the day, and also reaffirming that Palmer is a pretty nice place to be.
It is. Thank you for having us.
Right, and I hope you have a good trip back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.